We will now convene July 14, 2015, City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. The outset, I reviewed, approved, and executed the June 9, 2015 regular meeting minutes. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's cases?
Yes, sir, Mr. McKelter. We do have one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. It is number 3 for SMG 051523, 500 North Keith Street. Is in compliance as of July 7, 2015. And then I believe that is all at this time.
All right. Will the representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning proceedings and step forward this morning?
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
We're going to start this morning with case number 8, Plantation Acres, LLC. Is anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Please step forward.
Good morning.
Can you say your name, please?
Steve Karp. Excuse me, Steve Karp.
Can you raise your right hand?
Certainly.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and what's your affiliation with Plantation Acres, LLC?
The managing member, sir.
And you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let me digress for one moment. Mr. Jackson, how long does the city think it should take for Mr. Carr to be able to make the plan?
Ms. McKelter, just for the record, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. On this case, this number of factual information that I believe the inspector needs to advise you of, this has become a major issue. There have been some fires there in it from the period of inspection, and there's other things going on regarding occupancy and other situations. So I will tender the fire inspector David Newell to give you the factual information. And we'll have our inspector Bo Snowden. So.
Good morning, sir. David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. What we have before you is a three-story rooming and lodging building. I'm going to address the electrical issue first, if that's okay with you, sir, and then do the rest of it after that. Basically, we've had two fires at that location, which are electrical in nature. After those fires, the electrical inspector, Mr. Snowden, went out there with us, along with the discussion with the building official and fire chief. What we have there is we've had two fires. Since then, it's become a hazard for people to live in there. What has happened as of last Friday, it has been that the power was shut down as FP&L would not hook it back up because the electrical was not signed off by an electrician, Mr. Snowden, and or rewired back to code for FP&L. So it's currently not occupied because of those reasons. We have them currently under fire watch for 24 hours a day, in which they are required to do by the Florida Fire Prevention Code. So no one's allowed in the building because of those electrical issues. What we, because of the urgency of people going in and out, we feel that a 7 days for them to remedy the electrical issues is important because of the urgency of people coming back in, going in and going out when they can. We also are looking at the fire alarm system as it is not up and running currently at the moment, even though they're on fire watch. So the detection system would not be working at this time because of that. And so through the Florida Fire Prevention Code, they cannot be in there, and or that's why they're currently on fire watch. So currently what we're asking is that no member occupy this building until the electrical inspector, until the contractor completes the work on the electrical system with a licensed contractor. The permit that, which they have for that is signed off by the electrician, Mr. Bo Snowden, the electrical contractor, and that way it's and then FP&L says it's okay to hook that power back up. So as it relates to the state of the electrical part of it, I would refer to Mr. Snowden, but I wanted to address the electrical portion by ourselves, and we're looking for 7 days for them to actually accomplish the electrical portion to get that back up to code.
Okay. Anyone else want to hear?
As long as the building's not occupied, I don't think the hazard is there, but 7 days should be more than reasonable to get a passing final inspection.
Can you just say your name for the record?
Oh, Bo Snowden, City of Daytona.
Yes.
All right. Are the electrical complaints that we've just heard, do they resolve all the violations, or do we have more on top of that?
There's more. I don't believe that resolves everything. I believe what we're asking for is pretty much just bifurcating for a two-part order. One, an order to related specifically to resolving the electrical problem and getting this place back with operational. Even though it's vacated and voluntarily vacated, at the cost of the owner, it's still a circumstance where just because of I think the occupancy is, well, I'll ask, the occupancy, about how many folks is it?
There's 30 rooms, so there's an upward to at least 30 people because I believe all of them were occupied. And then there's, if there's additional husbands, wives, whomever, there's more additional people that could be living in that place. Go ahead, sir.
Explain by the inspector, please, to me that these units have been occupied up until this time. So people are coming back to the building and going in and getting stuff, as well as still being workers at the building. So it's still, even though it's vacated, it's not, it's isolated. So it needs to be remedied. It needs to be remedied timely so that we can move on and then take care of the remaining the items. So I'd have to again look to Mr. Newell if I'm
going to say, Mr. Carl?
You could ask Mr. Newell or Mr. Snowden as soon as I was made aware of all. There weren't fire. I mean, there was smoldering in the wall. There was never any actual fire, but, I understand that there was a problem. I immediately hired a licensed electrician that pulled the necessary permits, and I have copies of it. And they've been working on it since about, over the 4th of July holiday. So the permit was pulled July 1st. So they've been continuously working there from the 1st until today is what, 12th or 14th. And they're there again this morning, so they're continuously working on it. I vacated the building about 5 or 7 days ago, I believe it was, and they're relocated to another hotel in the area. And I believe it was going to be about 2 days, I believe, about 48 hours to finish whatever electrical work had to be done. I guess there were some changes made yesterday. And so hopefully in the next, maybe by Thursday or Friday, the electrical could be inspected by Bo and hopefully signed off at that time.
All right. Now, once the electrical issues are resolved.
Yes, sir.
Is the city still asking that the property not be rented, utilized, or occupied for its compliance?
Yes, sir. We're asking that until the electrical is signed off by the electrical inspector and FP&L is able to hook it back up, that the building not be occupied until that time, and also until the actual fire alarm system is back up and running prior to anybody to be occupied.
And when do you anticipate the fire alarm system being up and running?
Once the electrical is completed, the fire alarm system is already there. When they hook it back up, the batteries that are located within the fire alarm control panel are going to have to be changed because they only last for about 18 hours. So they'll have to call the contractor, come out, put in the batteries, for that, and then make sure that the actual fire alarm system is working in compliance with NFPA 72.
And Mr. McKevin, just for clarification, I believe probably the answer was no, that we're not asking for anything more than that as it relates to occupancy. He is in the sense that the electrical will resolve all of it, but it will include having the fire system back up as part of doing the whole electrical project.
Correct.
But that won't take care of the violation.
No, sir.
Assuming the electrical is taken care of within 7 days, as has been requested, how much more time should it take for the fire system to be brought online?
Could be the same day. All he needs to do is contact the contractor. All they have to do is get a hold of the contractor. They can come out that day. It's a simple fix. Everything is still in place. All they need to do, again, is change the batteries, test the system, make sure it's good. It was working prior to that when I had these other notices, in which we'll discuss in a minute. It was working as required by code at the time prior to the electrical system being shut down.
And once the fire system is online, is it standing compliance?
Can I state one more thing? Once we get power, I'm hoping to get power back on the building. Normally, this isn't the way it goes. You do a disconnect, reconnect, and FPL comes back and hooks it up. What they installed, their new stuff, was not to code and so forth. I think the electrician has kind of overstepped his bounds. Since then, he's gotten some help. So once we get power on the building, that doesn't fix the problem. That's just changing the service out. Now they have to go out and rectify the problems with smoldering wiring, all the bad stuff. So that's where the 7 days would kick in. But I just want to make sure that once we get power on the building, that doesn't mean they can occupy. Right. We need a passing, closing this whole entire permit out, which includes exit light, emergency lights, egress lighting, all that kind of stuff also.
And assuming we have our power within 7 days, how much longer should it take to complete everything else?
Okay.
As it relates to the rest of the violations that are noted here, we're going to go to the next cutoff for everything as far as panic hardware and everything else that you see in this notice of violation. So other than the electrical issues, if we're asking for the 7 days, everything else, next cutoff, sir. And it is noncompliance.
All right. Mr. Carr?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they're suggesting the electrical work has to be completed within 7 days.
Yes, sir.
They're suggesting the balance of work ought to be able to be completed by August 5th, and they don't want the credit for any rented, utilized, or otherwise occupied until such time as in compliance. And what say you to all that?
I'm sorry.
And what say you to all that?
Okay, after the electrical is signed off, I'll have Space Coast, which is the fire alarm company. I'll notify them today to be on notice in the next 5 or 6 or 7 days that they'll have to come out with short notice to make sure that all the batteries are changed out. So at that time, when Bo goes and signs the final on the electrical, I've already then it'll be able to be reoccupied at that time. That's correct.
Well, that's for me to determine.
Oh, okay. Well,
what I want to know from you is, assuming you've got the electrical squared away in 7 days.
Yes, sir.
Do you think you'll be able to get the balance of the work?
Oh, absolutely. Well,
what's left, which will be about 2 weeks.
Okay, well, I've already signed a contract, and I can give you a copy if you'd like, with for the balance of the work. So, but they're about 3 weeks out. You know, because they're backed up with other jobs. So they told me around August 8th or 10th they could come out and do that other aspect of what's on your list.
So you already know you're going to August 8th or 10th.
Yeah, but I think it's a day or two for them to do the work. So, yeah, so I can try to rush them, I could try to expedite it.
It's your fault because you're not going to be able to rent, use, or occupy until it's in compliance.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was just that after the electrical was in compliance that it could be occupied.
No, they're saying they don't want it occupied until the fire system's up and running.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. I can get all of that done within 7 days. But I have no issues with that. I think it'll be in the next 3 days, probably. Yes, I can agree with that. Yes, sir. Within 7 days, the electrical should be done. And the fire.
is taking care of all these electrical issues you've talked about and getting the fire system back online. Does that bring you into compliance?
With regards to the power being brought back on to that's okay with Mr. Snowden and the FP&L, we feel that at that time it can be reoccupied. However, the electrical issues throughout the rest of the building, all of it may not be completed at that time.
All right, so Mr. Jackson, how are you formulating this initial order for 7 days? Because I'm hearing an awful lot of overlap between the electrical issues, the fire system, and then I'm trying to glean what's left after that in order to come into compliance. I don't know that we need to put three or four orders in place for this case. It sounds like the respondent's plenty motivated to get the thing back into compliance.
Absolutely.
So I'm hearing 7 days for electrical issues. And then I guess you're suggesting by August 5th for everything else.
Yes.
Not be rented, utilized, or occupied the interim. I understand all that.
All the electric.
You're telling me, as you sit here right now, you already know your fire system's not going to be in place until August 8th to 10th at the earliest.
No, sir. I'm sorry. I apologize. There's a little miscommunication. All of the electrical issues and the Space Coast fire alarm issue could be in compliance in 7 days.
Okay. And how about whatever else is remaining as far as...
I can get that by August. Well, there's... I would say 90% of it I would have done by the August 5th cutoff date. The only other, there's only one other thing that noted at the bottom of the of your case there. The sagging deflection on the beams located over the front porch area. I've signed a contract with Ramjack. I can give you a copy of it, sir. And I can try to get them to do it by August 5th. But they're in, that's what I mentioned is the August 8th to 10th date.
And if I may, the Calgary Arts inspectors say they understand that, and that's, and I'll ask Mr. Snow to speak to that.
I believe that he could occupy the building waiting on the Ramjack people. You know, as far as the life safety part of the fire and the electrical would just have to be done within that 7 days or whenever he passes that final inspection.
Talk about things like doors with self-closing devices, exit doors, having panic hardware. Is that part of the fire system, or is that part of the miscellaneous matters to be attended to after the electrical and the fire system are resolved?
Those are all within the non-compliance next cutoff. So all the self-closing doors, everything else you see in here as it relates to smoke detectors, which will be corrected, but all the rest of that stuff that you see in here would then go to the next cutoff.
Next cutoff being August
5th. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm still not clear. So the only thing you don't think you're going to be able to finish by August 5th is the sagging beams located over the front porch area?
Yes, sir. Because I have my electrical contractor going to do the hardwire smoke detectors, and the majority of the self-closing doors, you know, I would say 95% of them are self-closing. Only one or two tenants is, you know, when they get upset or whatever, pull one of those self-closing doors. That's just a maintenance issue, you know, 30 minutes.
And the sprinkling system is part of the fire?
That's all.
I just want to make sure, okay. Everything electrical-wise, everything for the electrical system to get somebody back into the location, we want 7 days. Yeah, I don't want to be confused.
Mr. Kelch, what I was just suggesting to Mr. Snowden is if he would identify specifically which violations are necessary related to the electrical safety that would allow for the reentry, and we'll specifically highlight those as the ones that we would like 7 days. Mr. Snowden's making highlighting those, and I'll indicate those specific to you. And then everything remaining would be for next cutoff.
For I want to make sure the order obviously is clear, as I'm sure you are. Based on what we have here on the order, or the notice of violation in which we have here, the items that must be completed before occupancy is going to be the following items.
Hang on a second.
Yes.
All I need you to tell me is which of them have to be done by July 21st, and which of them does he have until August 5th to do. And then I'm going to assume everything that remains is neither electrical or fire related, and I'll give it the next cutoff to finish those so that we can get these things done first.
Okay.
And I'll let him know, I'm assuming, that once he's squared away with the electrical and the fire issues, and at that point, he's at liberty to start using the building.
Correct.
So, again, my demarcation is what do you want done by July 21st, and what do you want done by August 5th?
All right, I'll start at the top. The all emergency lights and hardwired with battery backup be completed. The smoke detectors throughout the building. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
They got no wind wall so they can mark it on mass.
All right, here we go. Let me try this. All right. Fire extinguisher on second floor with no inspection / tag recertified annual. August 5th?
Yes, sir.
Pardon?
August 5th.
August 5th. All doors within a corridor must have a self-closing device. When do you want that done?
August 5th.
All exit doors leading to the outside are required to have panic hardware. No exit shall have a key on the egress side.
August 5th.
All emergency lights must be hardwired with battery pack. With battery pack.
That's going to be July 21st.
No backflow device is required by Florida statute.
August 5th.
Smoke detectors throughout the building are missing or replaced with battery-operated detectors instead of hardwired detectors.
July 21st.
No hardwired detectors are installed in the manager's office living room.
July 21st.
Sprinkler head in the hallway near manager's office has paint on deflector.
August 5th.
Sprinkler head in the hallway near / in manager's office is a pendant when it should be upright.
August 5th.
Extension cords are being utilized for permanent wiring. Assume that's 721.
Yes, sir.
Numerous receptacles with exposed wiring throughout the building. I assume that's 721.
Yes, sir.
Usable space under stairs prohibited except for the fire-resistant rating the same as the stairs.
August 5th.
On reinspection on 629-15, found additional violations. Open and exposed wiring throughout the building. I assume it's July 21st.
Yes. Yes, sir.
200-amp service double tap with a 150-amp panel, which could be overloading the circuit. July 21st?
Yes, sir.
missing most dead front panels which expose live wiring, July 21st?
Yes, sir.
Joints made and pushed back in the wall and not in a box, July 21st?
Yes, sir.
And then the sagging deflection on the beams located over the front porch area, that doesn't involve either. Electrical fire, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right, have you covered everything?
Yes, sir.
There's more you want to bring up now. We'll do it now.
No, sir. That's all I have at the moment. Again, I apologize for the I'm making sure everything's clear, but yes, sir.
Those are the ones that we've identified here as the ones having to be done by July 21st, or that they be done by July 21st, or the respondent to return to special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And further ordering that the fire-related issues, those being the ones we've identified as having as needing to be done by August 5th, be in compliance by August 5th, and on that, the respondent may be returned here for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And as far as anything else that remains to be done on this list of issues, including but not necessarily limited to sagging deflection of the beams located over the front porch area, must be done by September 2, 2015, or the respondent be returned for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. As soon as the respondent is in compliance on the electrical issues, those are the ones that have to be completed by July 21st, and the fire-related issues, those are the ones that have to be done by August 5th, then the respondent is at liberty to utilize the building. Until then, the property is not to be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized. We all get that?
Okay, I'm just a little unclear. You mentioned So when we take care of all the electrical issues and he signs off the final honor before July 21st, I believe, is the date. On July 22nd, it could be reoccupied. Is that correct?
Until you have the fire-related issues resolved as well. The fire, which I thought I understood everyone said, would take 2 or 3 days following that.
Okay. In other words, the other fire-related issues that you gave till August 5th, correct? Well, I'm going
to
get them all done by July 25th. I'm going to do it all concurrently so that...
Get them all done, then you're back in business.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your help.
If you're not able to get it all done, then you can end up being held up until they are...
Oh, they'll be done by July 21.
It's only the electrical and fire-related issues that are going to hold you up from being occupied.
Correct.
The other things, you can come into compliance...
By September 5th at...
By September...
3rd or whatever you mentioned.
By September
2nd. 2nd.
All right.
Thank you, sir, for your time.
Take care of everything?
Yes, sir.
Is everyone happy?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Relatively.
Relatively. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, turning to our agenda, lien review case number 1, 1010 Cedar Highlands Boulevard, Keach Street Properties, LLC. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Gerald McCreary.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you swear or affirm that the
testimony you're about to provide is the truth and the truth? Yes. Thank you.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. Your name again?
Gerald McCreary.
Okay, Mr. McCreary, this is your opportunity to try to explain to me why I should consider reducing and or possibly waiving the fine. The amount of the fine, as I understand it, plus cost, it will accrue to date total $10,260. So what's the basis of your request to reconsider that?
I've never received notice. The only way I found out about it is a search on the property, and it came a lien search, and that was done recently. And within a day, I went ahead and got the license, the business tax license, and immediately contacted the city and had that taken care of. This was back in 2010. I'm not sure where the notice went, but I didn't receive it. But it's been in the compliance a long time before that because, Section 8, when the Daytona Housing Authority, Section 8, they wouldn't even allow anyone even occupied, even if the yard is in that condition. Back then, my mother owned the property. She had dementia at this time. Now she's deceased. So I was kind of assisting her with it. And at this time, now I'm the authorized person on SunBiz with the Division of Corporations. And at that time, I was listed also as a registered agent with Attorney Marshall Barkin. He's deceased now. I have that also. I have all the papers. And the address was listed on there. And I don't know if they sent it there, but I never received any documentation about it.
The address what was listed on where?
As a registered agent for service. I guess that's from my understanding. As a registered agent.
Barkin was the registered agent for service?
I believe so. Let me see here. I have that here also. I printed it out. Let's see, it's on this other paper. It's a registered agent. Yes, correct. And, right, he's a registered agent on the LLC annual report, which I can give to Dr. Jackson. Now, I don't know if it went to him, but I did not receive it. His address is on Ridgewood, so I'm not sure where the city sent this.
Okay. Peach Tree Properties. Somebody apparently signed for.
What address? And I'm not sure what's the...
It says sent to Gerald B. McCrary.
There's some problems with the address. Even on the... Okay, well, that's probably part of the problem. There's no Coral Street, but that's not the address that I have listed for purposes of service as a registered agent. Or not even Marshall Barkin's address. His was... on here. His was 149 South Ridgewood. They have my correct address now, even with the business tax license here. I gave them the correct address, but then they put that Coral Circle address. I have that here also. And I'm not even sure where the city keeps getting that address from. Let's see. I printed that out. Let's see.
Mr. Cutts, I would say that I would expect this from the most recent property appraiser's address. I think we have a copy to indicate that that's the address that's on the tax.
That's
March
2010.
That's what it was.
And he funded it, ran out
for March
2010 as the registered agent of Gerald McCrary, 1304 Island Wild Drive.
Correct. That's the correct address, but nothing went there. That was the correct address at that time. It's not correct now. But even in the computer here, I got the license. But on the front of the license, it has my correct address. But then when I look on the internet, it has an address on the Coral Circle again. I'm not sure why they keep putting that in there. And I didn't even put that on my application. I have a copy of the application. Let's see. You have a contract application with the city of Daytona. So they keep getting everything incorrect. So right now, if they go by that, any notice they send will go to that address again in Coral Circle.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. I have a copy of the license. I mean the application. Who signed for that? The other Coral Street? Did anyone sign for it?
Somebody signed for it. You can see the date on it. I don't know when they signed for it. Is that true to your signature?
No, that's not my signature.
The one to the right?
Yes, sir.
Sure, you have my license or a copy of the application. It's different than that. You can inquire current property appraiser. Were you
able to pull that up this afternoon? Yes, it's just 133 Coral Circle, Florida 32119. That's the current property appraiser's website.
Well, I pay the taxes, but. I don't use that address.
What's at 133? I see 133 Coral Street. What's there?
That may have been an error.
Yeah, that's so. Well, I don't know who got it then. There's no such street in South Daytona. Well, unless somebody didn't know what it was for and signed, the person would have had to reject it for it to be returned.
All right, let's see what the city has to say about this. Let's say the city.
Ms. Fekelji, nevertheless, there's been recent communication with Mr. McQuarrie on this, and as of yesterday, the property is on monitor. The city's position is that the property is not currently based on the current condition of the property, the city's requesting no reduction. The property is not presentable. It's not in compliance. It's the same problem that's been a historic problem, according to the inspector. And the inspector is Mr. Stinson, and I'll tender him for you for the information regarding the recommendation of the city.
Well,
they
were saying the city it was in compliance.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector for the city. These photographs were taken yesterday morning at 7 o'clock. As you can see, the actual violation was that it was overgrown and the overgrowth was encroaching on the sidewalks. And as you can tell by photographs, that is the state that the property was in yesterday morning.
Well, I was told it was in compliance in June when I contacted him, and I have an email. I didn't print that email, but I was told, Mr. Stinson told me it was in compliance in June.
Well, an affidavit of compliance dated May 20, 2015. So what happened in May of 2015 to prompt this notice of this affidavit of compliance?
The actual order should be that this property should be maintained in the compliant state. At the time that he requested the reinspection, someone had, yes, just cut the grass. Unfortunately, as you can tell by the photographs, it's not being maintained like this on a consistent basis.
And is that a criteria I'm supposed to take into consideration when hearing a lien review request? Am I complying to the old notice of violation?
Our position is, and I think the position we followed over time has been that we look at the current status of the property. Well, we look at whether or not they're in compliance. We'll be looking at the face of the written complaint. But our position is always that we look at the status of the property. So we always go back and review and check the status. We believe you should take it into consideration. Now, you can take it into consideration. I don't believe that we have a standard as to what to compel to consider. I think the total picture is what we would ask you to consider, but in this situation,
the historic violation is overgrowth.
Oh, yes.
it's the type of auto sense to be doing, they can be fined 4 days. But it's impact on the neighbors, the truth is that it can impact if it's indeed still overrun activity of the proceeding.
Is this property on the cut?
There's a stence in it.
I couldn't tell you if it was occupied yesterday morning, sir.
Mr. McCreary, is the property occupied?
It is occupied, and it's on Section 8 with the Daytona Housing Authority, and there is a tenant there, and, you know, in the lease, he's supposed to be responsible for it, and I did bring it into compliance. I cut it, and then I went ahead and charged her, you know, for doing it because of her responsibility. Now, it's still... I thought I was here about the, well, possibly notice the compliance. I've never received a notice, so, you know, to go all the way back and then start charging, and I never received notice, I mean, it's really unfair. And I will speak with the tenant about it. And then I was told it was in compliance. Now I come back, and then they say, well, ignore where they say it's in the compliance. Now it's not in the compliance, so they say ignore that. I mean, I really don't think that's fair. But it will get, I mean, I'm going to go back and take a look at it, and it will get taken care of today.
I'll do you a favor. I want to continue this hearing to our next meeting. In any event, I'm going to continue your lien review request till the next meeting. And as it stands right now, I'm not going to consider it at all, because it's not compliance. And it is your obligation, and your tenant's your obligation. So I'm at least going to have you an opportunity to pretty up before the next meeting, so that when you come here and ask for a lien review request, you at least won't be confronted with the city saying, well, thank you, the property as it stands. Now it's in non-compliance again. You probably ought to just cite them all over again and start another. So anyway, I'm going to give you, and now for the next meeting, you get it back into compliance, which I guess means somebody needs to start cutting the ink in your yard. And at that point, I'll hear your lien review request. And I'm also allowing the city additional time, because it's now being confronted with this notice issue, just to take a look at it and see if there's anything that needs to be explained. So I'm going to continue your lien review request until August 11th. And at that point, we'll reconsider. And at that point, I will at least vote. We're not going to be confronted with the city's objection that the property is not in compliance with the state.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next case, Robert and Chantal Peske.
Mike Bowen. Do you see contractor services representing Pesci's? Yes. It's an interesting one. I wish I could say yes, but no, we don't. Where we are right now is with the architect going back and forth. When we went in and did some more research on the house, the whole floor is sinking. So what we've done I think the last time I was here, we told you we're going to tear it apart and look at it. So what we did was go in and find out how much damage they do have, and I actually spoke to the owners last night. They'll be here on the 21st. And I have a contract for them with the architect. There's a lot of structural damage to the house that they weren't expecting. So the cost is probably doubled on this project since the beginning of what they thought was going to happen. And it's just, we can't put new windows in the house when the house is sinking. There's doorways in there that are out of square. I mean, it's just not going to work. So we have to jack it up. And basically, that's where we stand. As far as getting the permit, as far as getting the permits, we needed the drawings from the architect to convert it to the one single-family dwelling. And with all of that's going on with the sinking of the house, that took precedence over getting the drawings completed for the single-family residence. It's just been a mess, but we're getting there. He'll be here on the 21st for 3 weeks, and we're going to hash everything out and get it all done. And I mean, I honestly don't even have a problem with the compliance date of 9/17 still.
9/17,
where did that come from? I thought it was 9/2. Okay. You're right, 9/2. So, I mean, we still, when he comes here, we're ready to go. We just need to know what we're doing, basically. The layout of the house has changed 3 or 4 times, and now we're ready.
Looking at the right house?
Yes.
Just to cut to the aspect of us is that the contractor has been in communication with the city. The city was aware that they encountered problems and that they have to alter the architecture, the drawing.
Yeah,
and so we understand that the delay, so we're not. We don't really have a problem with the delay. We accept the position that it's likely that they can still come into compliance. So on the previously stated compliance date of September 2nd, we believe because of this balance of uncertainty that it may be useful to have a progress report in August, just that we are making progress. It is going forward, and if we need to amend or adjust the compliance date, we can look at it at that time. And our inspector is standing, seeing our attempt to discuss if any other questions.
The nature of violation we're dealing with is broken windows, the cottage wood, I guess the core falls into that category.
Yeah.
Right, so everyone knows that's part of the violation.
Correct.
Smoke detectors, interior surface, and the whole store, signage, outside storage.
But the violations were changed because of changing the apartments into a single-family unit. So that kind of changes the whole thing.
Well, does everyone know what the violations are right now as we proceed forward?
Yeah, we're
yes. So it's something a little bit different than what I'm looking at.
Right. The compliance is just that, that's all.
The permit changed because it went from a 4-unit to a single-family dwelling, too.
Correct.
When we had it, we originally filed for to do the, bring it to compliance under 4 units, and then it changed over to a single-family.
Okay. Sounds like our contractor's been staying in touch with you.
Yes.
It's always a good thing. All right. Well, then let's go ahead and continue our progress report. Well, I'm sorry. Let me put it this way. We'll schedule another progress report for our August 11, 2015 meeting. And at that point, we hopefully will be in a position to better assess where we stand. What the prospects are of keeping that September 2 compliance date, or whether we're going to have to start talking about
it. Be here on the 21st.
But either way, presumably, we'll know a lot more by then.
Okay. He might actually be here for that date.
The owner may be here for the next hearing. If not, at least I'll meet him at the property and get more on it.
August 11, 2015. Very good. All right.
Thanks, sir.
Good luck to you. Gracie Land, REI Consulting, LLC. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Could we come forward? State your name and be sworn.
Mary Gordon. I do. I do. I'm the mother of Bill Gordon, yes, who's the owner, and he has authorization downstairs for me. He is getting better. He's down to 3 therapies a week, hopefully this week two, and he's wanting to get down, but he's left it all up to me, which... May I speak? Oh. He is the contractor. My son had called him to come out and possibly be the contractor. When he came, he wanted to buy it, but we was waiting to see what could be done. He's kind of backing out because he wants to definitely make the front house. He's getting tired of waiting, so he's backing out, but my son's still going to keep it and fix it up when we decide, when, you know, the city gives us permission to how many units we can have. And I brought the survey that you had requested. We got that done. However, it is not totally accurate. And I ordered this 2.5 weeks ago. They gave it to me yesterday. They've got a sidewalk going right up to the front porch. And there is a driveway. There are two driveways on each one on each side. They've got it on one side but not the other. But I did write on there where it is. And I think my son checked with someone here, and I did too, downstairs with zoning. They said it's zoned for 10 units. Now, my son, no way, wants to put 10 units. There was 5 units in the house prior. It looks like, and I'm not sure of this, because it would have been, you know, 1945, I believe. The house looks like it originally was probably a duplex, because there are stairs that goes up the back. There are stairs that goes up the front from the outside. There's no stairs from inside that house that goes up, and there's no signs of where there ever was been, you know, had been any. My son just kind of wants to know what he can do with it, and hopefully within 2 months he can get down here.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Mr. Meadows was here. He stirred up all kinds of interesting topics.
Yeah, now he's...
And I guess we finally made a determination that there had been an abandonment.
Did he? Okay, I haven't talked with him. I think my son did, but he's making payments, so he just wants to get on with this as soon as he can. But he needs to get down here also, because it's kind of left up to me. And
the reason why that becomes important was because, I guess, Mr. Meadows was undecided as to whether he wanted to legally challenge that determination or go forward.
I thought
he
was going to be here, but he's not. I think so, because he's not here today. My son talked with him yesterday, and he was kind of, well, I don't think I'm going to do it. Well, that kind of tells you. And Bill says, well, I got to get on with this. I got to find out what I can do. And no way does my son want 10 units there.
All right, Mr. Jackson, where were we as far as the city's position, as far as occupancy and property
concerned? Yes, sir. As you recall, and as it's indicated on the agenda, we're here today on a progress report in a compliance state. That was based upon those determinations that we made the last time on that meeting, as far as the ruling regarding the abandonment or at least the continued use. That's more clear. That's the terminology from our the distant they did have an address where they are right now. They had a number of things they needed to do, was suggested to them, and unfortunately none of those things have taken place. I have a list signed by Dennis Grosek, the principal planner, says, did you make an appointment for the pre-application meeting? Has the site plan been completed or the property can have up to 10 units provided the site can meet the development standards of parking and landscaping? Did you have conceptual drawings? Did you order or do you have survey? And those things are required to be able to come and sit before the committee and see where to go next. But I'll turn to Ms. Askin because she can explain where the status is with the city in terms of what we're
talking about. Before we do that, the minutes seem to indicate that we, specifically Ms. Askin, was in need of a survey before the meeting. Is this survey suffice as far as that concerned? Can someone take a look at that?
Okay, no one has seen it yet.
She's already told you it's incorrect.
I thought I was supposed to bring this meeting. I thought it would be
testing. Got a copy of the email, everything they needed to do, and I also told them they needed to talk to the code enforcement officer assigned to it to find out which violations were the most severe so that we could address those folks. And right now, today is the first time I've talked to her about the email, and Mr. Moore, who is the actual property owner, has not replied.
Refresh my memory. How many units were How many units had been on this property at any given time?
Eight. Three in the back and five in the front.
You said the structure?
There's three structures.
There's currently three structures. Some of the units were developed without permits. That was part of the main problem.
How many units were out there? From our understanding, correct.
We're in agreement
on that. Yeah. We got three structures.
Yes, sir. Three in the back and one in the front, sir. There's three cottages in the back and a big 8-room house in the front.
Okay.
What you mean by three structures? It's really two structures with multiple units.
Yes.
The unit is under one roof.
Correct. That's why I said it was only three.
Okay.
He's counting that second one as four, and it's not. It's three structures.
Okay.
And you already determined there had been a damage.
Yes, that was determined at the last meeting.
And we instructed staff to let them know what they
do to reestablish the property. So the research I did shows, based on their zoning and land use, they can have up to 10 units, provided they can meet the parking, landscaping, and other corrections that are from code enforcement.
Somebody needs to start doing some homework.
No, we don't want to.
Junior needs to get it bucked in and start doing this. Himself.
Oh, and he will. So he's hopefully this
and
week.
Unfortunately, the clock is running right
now. I know.
The clock's running as we speak.
I know. And he wants to because he's making payments with no income. And of course, okay. Affiliates backed out, but then he needs to get permits. The first thing would be the electrical and plumbing so we can get the plumbing and the water on.
I understand.
Yeah.
I appreciate your effort. But the fact of the matter is, until the owner starts taking responsibility and getting the paperwork he is asking, quite frankly, I think the city's been overly gracious. I can't believe 10 units would be allowed on this property, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, there it is. So, like I say, to me, the city's being overly gracious in their interpretation of what you can do with the property, but so be it. So, quite frankly, I would think it would behoove him to get down here and start catering the disaster.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And he wants to.
And if he doesn't, then things can be defined into oblivion.
He can get on a plane now, at least. He couldn't get on a plane until last week because of the forecast.
I'm going to continue this matter until the August 11th meeting, and my hope is that between now and then, you have given Ms. Askew everything she needs for us to be able to start talking intelligently about what your plans are for the property, and more importantly, how much time it's going to take to come into compliance. If I come back here in August and we're still in this same limbo, then we're just going to start entering compliance dates, we're just going to start entering compliance dates.
I understand. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very good. August 11, 2015. All right. We'll see you hopefully your son.
Hopefully my son.
More importantly, I don't want y'all showing, you know, and let me emphasize this. I don't want y'all showing up at August 11th with an armload of papers, dumping them on the podium and go, here's this, here's that. This should all be funneled to Ms. Askew well before that meeting so we can start talking about what's going to happen going forward instead of just spending our time, you know, just trying to figure out what we have.
Yeah, I'll talk to my son. He didn't even mention that, and I didn't get it because my computer's not hooked up, but I don't even have one.
So your son, your special magistrate's a little bit aggravated.
I will.
It's going to require some personal attention. And if he doesn't do it, then he's going to get fined.
Fined. And he don't want that.
No, that would be a bad thing.
Okay.
Good luck.
Great. Thank you.
Case number 3 is in compliance. Case number 4, Chandra L. Washington.
Good morning. Chandra L. Washington.
Sorry, you're going to be testifying?
Yeah, my name is Arthur Wright. I'm with Amright Construction.
Yes.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city. Jackson, why am I
finding
Ms. Washington?
If I can have a moment to continue to discuss this. We have recent communication from Ms. Washington meeting on July 10th. She contacted the inspector. The inspector is willing to give them to our next cutoff to come in compliance with the expectation. The inspector was to come in for a substantial fine. There was no progress, but there's an intent to get started with something, and so the inspector's willing to give till next cutoff to come into compliance. The inspector's job is to now tend to Mr. Sense for any further communication. I mean, further update regarding this.
Okay.
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector. My qualification is on file with the city. From my last communication, which was on the 10th, the property owner has advised me or has requested for more time. My first reinspection was on July 7th. There was some progress being made. There is still quite a bit of work to be done. My last reinspection was yesterday morning. I did not inspect the interior. The exterior still requires quite a bit of work to be done. So the city is willing to amend until the next cutoff.
Okay, Ms. Washington, what I'm hearing is that some work has been done, but that you're not in compliance, you're due to be fined. The city is willing to entertain my amending our last order of non-compliance to allow you additional time for the next cutoff. The next cutoff for your information is August 5, 2015. So, what's in Ms. Washington?
My name is Arthur Wright. I'm with Amright Construction. I just applied for the permit yesterday. I'm thinking that the 5 might be a little stretch. Is any possible we can make it till the next meeting? It was August 11th, as far as being in compliance.
Are you under contract in this Washington?
Yes, I am.
And you're signed, sealed, and delivered?
Yes, sir.
And you're submitting the permit?
Yes, sir.
And in Washington, we plan on going forward with this gentleman to get this work done.
Yes, sir.
Is anything urgent about this stuff? Any life safety issues?
And not at this time. Property is unoccupied.
So if I gave you September 2, 2015, you're not going to make me look like a fool?
No, sir.
And I'll amend our previous order of noncompliance, allowing the respondent until September 2, 2015, to claim compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Great. Good luck to you.
Thank
you. All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, Precious Property Management, LLC. Well, sir, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
Angelo Bartolome. I do.
All right. And once again, your affiliation with Precious Property Management?
Honor.
He's been here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city. Mr. Jackson, why should I be fined in Precious Property Management LLC?
This is the property at the building, I guess the old Red Lobster. We needed a demolition. They did the demolition. However, the demolition standards require that the property is also cleared and re-landscaped and the whole thing. They are not to that point, or at least they weren't. The last communication I've gotten from the inspector, they needed to remove the signs, so they needed to landscape the property. They were reaching, I think, a deadline on the permit, and the inspector had a problem with amending to the next call so that they can get to here.
Is the debris still out there?
The debris is all cleared. I have a picture of the whole place.
I remember driving by.
Yeah, it's all cleared. The only thing that I'm having somebody work on it right now is the strawberries up front. The grass and all the lawn mowing and cleaning of the front of the property. But everything else is clear. The demolition people did a wonderful job. There's not a debris left in the property.
And so I take it the hold up now is what, landscaping?
So
That's what's been indicated from the inspector.
Are we having to put in new landscaping or are we just failing to maintain existing landscaping?
I believe it's just failing to maintain the resisting landscaping. This is Tom Clegg's case. I'm just filling in for him today.
So, Your Magistrate, I was not notified by what needs to be done, so I wasn't sure what needs to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in other words, what he needs to do is he needs to get the people out there and what? Clean up in the existing landscaping and maintain it.
And remove that large sign that's within the fenced-in area.
Which sign is that?
There was a sign that I don't believe that any of the pictures show, but there's one on the northeast corner of the fenced-in area.
I mean, which particular, I don't know which one that is, to be honest with you.
It's an advertising sign. It's like the large advertising sign, I believe.
Is it the restaurant sign?
I believe so.
But I'm going to be using it. I'm going to be utilizing it for my business that I'm putting up there. Why would I remove it?
The whole sign?
The whole sign? Why would I remove that? That's very expensive.
I believe it's a full pole sign, yes. I thought he had a picture of it, but apparently he doesn't.
But apparently this is a permanent structure.
Correct.
And aside from its existence, is there something about it that's in violation?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you have any ideas of what you plan on doing?
Yes, sir. Your magistrate, I plan to use that sign when I have my business there. I mean, it's a beautiful sign. It's very strong. Obviously, it went through hurricanes and stuff and doesn't impose any hazard.
Unfortunately, Mr. Calderon, you probably would
understand is that there's nobody that
said you can't have the sign there unless he's granted a variance, some type of
force.
There's no business.
I can remove the name that needs be.
You're talking about removing the entire sign?
Yes.
The entire structure?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking about from the
Well, I think it's not reasonable because I'm going to be using that structure. Okay.
All right, well, I'm not really understanding that, and I don't see a picture of the sign. And I'm hearing a property owner telling me he has present intentions of utilizing the property. How quickly do you plan on doing something with that property?
Well, I'm just waiting for the bank approval for my funding, but here's the what we're planning to put in that property, if you want to take a look at it. And I would like to reuse that sign if possible. Yeah. Okay. Here's the landscape. I have architect Gutierrez who's going to be working on the plans.
Does this site plan show the existing sign by any chance?
No, sir. But there is a sign in front.
That you anticipate utilizing?
Yes, sir.
And you already have plans that you get ready to submit for that purpose?
Not yet. I'm waiting for the bank approval, but Mr. Butera is working on my plans.
And this sign is the only thing that keeps it from being the sign in the landscape?
And the landscaping, yes. Yes, sir. And this a reminder as well,
even
with the new project, the sign should have
to be approved as part of the project. And whether or not that sign is location or sign is type, it would be something approved.
It's subject to review. So I'm not, enough information. I agree with you, Mr. Vakel, where the sign is or the structure. But where he's at now, in terms of an assurance that he's
What's your estimated value of that sign?
I would say at least $5,000 to $10,000. That's a very sturdy, sign. I can have Mr. Butera draw up a signage plan that will utilize the particular post or signage.
I think that would be helpful.
I can do that.
I'm just sitting here.
I just hate to
wondering the extremities of my authority here, trying to understand where it's going, where it's
not. Well, I can make it easier in saying this. Staff understand what he's saying,
and from that perspective, we recognize that. There may be some issues
out there. They're not right now within the realm of the enforcement staff.
It would be something that we'd have to look to the permits
and to the zoning PRC. So if there's something to look at alternatives or options, we're not
opposed to those options. We just don't know what they are at this stage. We do know that we need the landscaping in order. As far as our current understanding of his requirement, that he can't have the sign. So if we have alternatives, he's
well met. And if he wants to explore alternatives with the city, the staff is willing to allow that time for him to do that.
Does this sign have any copy on it right now?
What do you mean copy, sir? It does say Giovanni's restaurant, the old restaurant that was in there. But if that needs to be removed, I can remove that. Just leave the actual structure of it until I'm ready to put my sign.
Okay. I think I'm here today just to kick cans down the road, I swear. And I guess you don't want to hear about my medication. Okay.
I do have...
Well,
your sign something of a reprieve for him.
Okay.
Just a reprieve.
Okay.
We'll schedule this matter for a, let's call it a progress report on August 11th.
Okay.
All right. Now, first off, you have to maintain that landscaping.
Okay.
So that when we come back on August 11th, I don't want us having to spend a lot of time talking about how landscaping is up
here. Right.
Okay. So you have to do that. And I'm not telling you to remove the sign at this point in time. I am telling you that any efforts you take to include that sign in any present plans you
right.
have,
I will do so.
That you can hand me and show me will go a long way to convincing me that you might want to preserve whatever remedies you may have as far as you your efforts to save and reutilize that sign.
Okay.
So with that,
you could look at before you we did have at least some minimum requirements. At least in the interim regarding this sign, and that's for the removal of the lettering. And if Mr. Garcia can assist me on that, if indeed there was a building and the sign was remaining, what would those minimum requirements be?
Any restaurant has to be removed. So in other words, where is that Chinese restaurant?
Right.
That would have to be removed, and that you would have to replace it with clear panel, so there's no verbiage on there. The light bulbs can't be seen. In other words, it would be a box sign,
like clear panel,
with no verbiage on it.
Okay.
So, while we're in this period of reprieve, we can at least, at a minimum, have that remedy. Nothing that we reach that standard.
Yes, sir. That's not a big issue to me.
Very good. What we'll do is I guess the more appropriate verbiage is that I'm continuing the imposition of the fine that's presently before me to the August 11, 2015 meeting. Hopefully when we reconvene, there will be no issues at all regarding the landscaping
mm-hmm.
or maintaining the landscape. And the only issue presumably that will remain is the sign.
Right.
And if you can convince me that you have immediate plans or near immediate plans to utilize that
mm-hmm.
for a future use of the property that you're pursuing, all right, then I'll take that into consideration.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Very good. I do have a question, though. When I do the landscaping, is it just the front? Because I don't...
Give me a call and I'll meet you at the moment. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do.
Okay, I'm going back to Fort Lauderdale after I get done here. Probably if you can meet me there in an hour or something. Or?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Well, one way or another, you need to find out what needs to be done.
Right. I don't mind that. So if there's anybody that can, you know, come with me, I'll be very happy to.
Very good. Sounds like this gentleman's just volunteered.
Okay. Very well.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, you've already attended to. Case number 9, Susan Mayab. Anyone here from the respondent?
Good morning. Susan Mayab Cheney. Yes. Cheney.
Permit for roof/deck. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I did get a permit, and which I have, and I paid the penalty that I needed to pay since it was done without the permit. And
hang on a second, we're getting ahead of ourselves. You've recently got one.
Oh, I got one in December.
2014?
Yes. And I thought it was complete because it says on there that the work was already done, but then I guess there was a letter that went to my previous I moved here from Ohio, and when I purchased the property, I still lived in Ohio, and I moved here in October, and the letter went to my property in Ohio that said that the property needed to be reinspected, and I already thought we were done, but so I have also last week I went and got a permit extension, and I did apply for the permit extension.
At the outset, I find the respondent non-compliant. Mr. Jackson, what do we need to do to bring compliance?
Mr. Kelter, yes, I'll ask. We hear from Mr. Garcia. What's next? What she has with.
And I have gone and changed it.
With the property paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've done that and did the new change.
Okay.
But
is it the property address? Is the house? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
to the county, Hector Garcia, I'm the management. And my credentials are on file. What appears here is I'm looking at a permit card. The respondent apparently did have a permit. However, there is no inspections done on this permit. It just indicates that a 10x12 deck work already done. So that has to be inspected. The other thing is that I believe it's in New York. You see here it's like a little T. To be removed. That's a compliance. Staff recommends, and she can officer.
I have a couple questions. Is there a possibility of putting a different type of roof on it, or is there a possibility of a variance? The property is very, very tiny, as you can tell from my survey in the back, and if there's any way it could be left on, or just provide shade over the area.
Here's what I'm going to do. Now, you got the logs to figure out what you need to do. So I'm not going to make any decisions on the spot right here and right now. Apparently, it's sounding as though the deck may be resolved for all we know, subject, of course, to an inspection. And now I'm hearing there might be other issues. And so I think you perhaps might want to use the time and start talking to the city or whomever you feel like talking to help you understand, you know, what your alternatives are. If the roof is prohibited, then I suppose you can always ask for some sort of a variance. So my point is there are alternatives available to you. I just don't know what they are. And so I'm not familiar with the property, so I can't tell you what they are. I couldn't tell you anyway. So, by August 5th, figure it out and do what you need to do. If you keep the roof, great. If you want to keep the roof, but it's going to require that you go to another board or what have you for permission, then just report back to us and let us know. Whatever you decide to do, just communicate it to us. and then we'll go from there. Okay. Because, I mean, if it's your desire to go to a seek a variance that you need the roof, then typically we allow time for that to happen.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 10, Wild Olive Land Trust. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes.
My name is Langdon Stanley. I am the I manage the property for the trust.
Can you raise your right hand, sir?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Is it Mr. Sandlin?
Stanley.
Stanley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all right. No
and
problem.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, it did occur on the date of the first notification. There was.
The respondent non-compliant. So let's find out from our city what we need to do to be compliant.
That's all we needed, Mr. Vicality. This property is now in compliance. We just needed a finding of non-compliance so that for any future violations, it would be subject to a repeat violation, so it could be remedied.
Well, I'm not completely certain because it says the date of correction needed to be by the 13th and the trailer was gone on the 8th, and so I didn't understand why this was I was here to begin with.
You're here because they want to take the opportunity to tell you that even though you're now in compliance,
okay,
for every future occurrence in which that RV is found out there,
yeah, it'll
a violation, and you could be brought back here for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per
occurrence. Okay. It'll never be back there. No.
Okay. All right. Based on the testimony of Mr. Stanley and the report from the city, and finding that the respondent has subsequently come into compliance, but further order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Thank you.
There you go. Good luck to you.
Oh, yeah. Take care.
Case number 11, Lavonda Joy Self and Albert D. Scroche, Jr.
Lavonda Joy Self.
Okay.
I do.
Ms. Self, you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Pardon?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Jackson, what will it take in order for the respondent to come into compliance?
What's that? She has questions about what all she needs, but
I
believe they have to remove what was added because it's a historical district.
Okay, and I'll just for the record, that's Cliff Reckonzone.
Code inspector.
And he's covering this and has reviewed it on behalf of Mr. Clee.
All right, Ms. Self, you understand what has to be done?
Yes, sir. Right. Although, may I say something else? I have submitted for a permit 3 times, and last time I proposed to have it removed, and it was denied.
Well, I don't understand that, and before we consider a fine, we'll certainly start we'll take things like that into consideration. So don't hesitate to bring them up if need be. But with that, we'll go ahead and order you to come into compliance by August 5th, and we'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you, and like I say, if for some reason you encounter difficulties with the city that hamper your ability to come to compliance, and by all means, keep track of all that and present it to me if need be when the time comes.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I think the answer is no. Nothing further, Mr. McCalter.
Very good. With that,